Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
For the presidency ends, but our campaign for a better America, a stronger America, a more just America, a more equal America, and a more united America continues. And together, we will get it done. He fought for working people his whole life. And I'm glad to say I endorse Joe Biden, and I hope you will join me in working to make him the next president of the United States of America.
All right, so that's Michael Bloomberg. He spent a ton of money and then some, half a billion on ads alone to just pull out of the race after Super Tuesday, realizing there is no path for him to win the nomination for the Dems. So it's all about Joe blocking out Bernie Sanders and I think Elizabeth Warren, who has gone back to her home state that she lost on Super Tuesday, will pull out of this thing, and it'll come down to Biden and Trump in November. We've elected three presidents to two terms. Will he be the fourth? The coronavirus, or COVID-19 as it now is referred to, the strain is wearing down people's nerves, patience, and sending a lot of people into some pretty anxious moments, whether it's at airports or whether it's dealing with schools or dealing with loved ones. There is a little bit of panic in the air. Or is there? Does panic really help? It is about paying attention to the signs, and self-quarantine has become a very big word in this country. But first, let's talk about politics for a second. Are the odds better for the president to beat Biden than Sanders? You know, somebody asked me that today. In fact, that's something that's been debated a lot. And I saw a story where House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy was quoted as saying, I think the president wins either way, but with Joe Biden, there's no enthusiasm for him. And if Biden wins, he'd have real problems in the House. So he rejected the idea that Biden represents a more moderate side of the Democratic ticket, saying even in the House that the Democrats control, the socialist wing controls it. Remember, more than half of all the members of Congress on the Democratic side not only support Medicare for all, but Joe Biden raised his hand when they said, do you want to give health care free to illegals? He raised his hand like everybody else. So it's interesting what McCarthy pointed out in looking at now what will come down to, unless something unforeseen happens, Joe Biden versus the president, and does it make a difference? I don't know that it makes a difference if it's Biden versus Bernie. I think Bernie would have been too left for many of the Democrats. So that idea that he's more moderate played well with the voters, I think, that went out for the primaries on Super Tuesday. But we'll see. Bernie's not out of it yet. I mean, he hasn't declared that he's not running any longer. And Elizabeth Warren hasn't stepped aside yet, but I imagine she will very, very soon. I can't see that she stays in it beyond this week. That doesn't make any sense to me. So the thing that's on everybody's mind, though, isn't so much about politics. It's more about COVID-19. Human trials for a vaccine are supposed to happen perhaps in April in the U.S., and that's pretty darn fast. The disease has already taken 11 lives in the U.S. and hundreds, of course, globally. So they're looking for a fast track to develop this vaccine, something that in many other cases would take years to develop, The 51 coronavirus cases in California, the most in the U.S. Washington has suffered pretty mightily. All but one of those that died were in Washington. And, of course, this all started way back in China, in Wuhan, and has killed 3,200 people. The vast majority of them live in mainland China. There are 92,000 global cases, infections in more than 70 countries and territories. So those are some numbers for you. We do have We Can Count coming up, and we'll have other numbers. But most vaccines, traditionally, the trajectory, from what I have been told and understand, is usually 5 years for the discovery phase and at least 1 to 2 years to manufacture. So it's a short track for sure, and they're trying to make it as quickly as they can do it. The potential to do human trials in 4 months, a 2 year cycle in 4 months, who has done that? And you've got GlaxoSmithKline, Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, I mean, name the pharmaceutical company, they are all anxiously working on this as fast as they can. By the way, money for the virus, where does it come from? The House passed $8.3 billion for COVID-19 overwhelmingly, and guess what? Bipartisan, no problem there. You know what the vote was? We haven't seen a vote like this, I think, in my lifetime. 4-15-2 on the bill. That's what it was. So that's money to expand testing for the virus. It's all of that backing that up, and especially that's the whole idea is vaccine, what do they need to do, whatever it is, as fast as possible so that they can do that. You know, you think about this and you think about the fact that, you know, what happens even at the Capitol? Are they going to meet in other places? What will Congress do and how dangerous would that be to let people in? You have about 3 million people that come through the Capitol Visitor Center each year. So these are the questions that everybody's asking about who's touching what and how fast does this virus spread and, you know, again, all of that in between. So the Senate Appropriations Committee Chairman Richard Shelby, a Republican, called the bill an aggressive and comprehensive response to the crisis, and it provides more money than the $2.5 billion that was initially sought by the Trump administration, and instead they threw more into this because of what they need, the money for the public health funding, for prevention, preparedness, response, all of that, for the drugs and medical supplies, so that small businesses that will be impacted by the outbreak can qualify for low-interest federal loans because they'll be affected by that. And every day there is a list of what's next, what's happening, who's being hit by that, and ultimately what does that all mean for everybody else. And then there was this other story, and we'll talk about this coming up in We Can Count, but you had top Senate Democrat Chuck Schumer, who went after the president, that's not new, and two Supreme Court appointees, suggesting that Brett Kavanaugh and Neil Gorsuch won't know what hit them if they rule in favor of abortion restrictions, which then prompted, and this is very unusual, the Supreme Court Justice John Roberts, who said the remarks were dangerous because usually he's not making comments on that. So this blew up Twitter, and there was lots of conversation about what Schumer had to say. And, you know, his spokesperson even came out and said by email that the senator was referring to the political price Republicans will pay for putting Kavanaugh and Gorsuch on the court. Hang with us.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this. But you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease. and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
I'm here with Scott Jusseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Numbers for you, including this, up to 100,000 Israelis in isolation as they're beefing up travel limits there. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu asked citizens to stop shaking hands because they're worried about COVID-19. In the Jerusalem Post, I happen to check that out today, they say that there's more than just slightly over 100,000, that number I said, Israelis in isolation because they're expanding their traveler quarantine, and that they have new guidelines that have been issued after a teenager's infection with the disease sent 1,000 people into a 14-day quarantine. 80 soccer fans and over 1,100 students may have been exposed to a ninth grader who contracted the virus from a work manager who recently returned from Italy. See, these are the things that happen. One innocent person in Italy could have been affected. Poof. And then they're among that big crowd. And how quickly can that spread? And how many walk away with that? Another thing that's interesting about this is that you've got two strains of coronavirus that have been identified by Chinese scientists. There are two different types of it behind this outbreak. So scientists at Peking University School of Life Sciences say that, and they published this preliminary study. They show that it started in December of 2019 in Wuhan, China, and has impacted a larger portion of China and raised, of course, the global concern. They found 70%, so there's your number, 70% of the analyzed strains came from a far more aggressive form of coronavirus. About 30% were believed to have come from a less aggressive type of it. So now they believe the results show that the development of new variations of the virus was likely caused by mutations and natural selection and then recombination. That's what they call it. But knowing that the virus can mutate could make it more difficult to keep track of or to treat. That's the bad part about that, but at least they know that they've seen that, and there's the good news there. So events being canceled, conversations about the Tokyo Games, the president of the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games organizing committee is kind of rebuffing the speculation that the Games might be canceled. And he keeps getting asked this. Yoshiro Mori told reporters at a briefing when he was asked about a possible cancellation and asked when the organizers could decide on the changes, he said, "I'm not God, so I don't know," because he's been asked this question a ton of times. Now, the number of confirmed coronavirus infections in Japan has topped 1,000. 706, though, were from the Diamond Princess cruise line. A total of 12 have died. 6 were from the Diamond Princess. So there is concern about the games being postponed or canceled, because already the Japanese Prime Minister had to close schools this month. Companies are encouraging employees to work from home. Sporting events are being canceled, played in empty stadiums, so they're doing it. I mean, they're already seeing what's happening there, especially among a very big population in some of their heavily populated areas, the big major cities. So there you go. Parks and conservation. This is interesting and something that I actually care about as being a beneficiary of some incredible moments in my life due to some of our amazing parks, honestly. So Senate leaders and the Trump administration have reached an election year deal to double spending on a popular conservation program and devote about $1 billion a year to clear a growing maintenance backlog at national parks. It was announced by senators from both parties. Hallelujah, another bipartisan deal. So they're going to spend about $2.2 billion a year on conservation and outdoor recreation projects and park maintenance. So approved, once it's approved officially, signed by the president, then it's probably the most significant conservation legislation that we've seen I'm going to say this again. I've said it like 3 times in this show. In my lifetime, in half a century, whatever, this is a very, very big, it's a very, very big deal. Because, you know, they've slashed a lot of spending for the conservation fund. So this is good. The program uses federal royalties from offshore oil and gas drilling to pay for conservation and public rec projects around the country. And the 55-year-old fund is authorized to collect $900 million a year, but they usually get less than half that amount from Congress. So this is big. And this means there's a lot of things that they're going to be able to do with that money, and especially some of the areas that really desperately need it. Because if you go back and you look at our history of it, it's pretty fascinating to see what the money's used for and what's happened as far as outdoor recreation. And that's hiking in some of these parks, seeing some of these amazing things, and you'll get to be the beneficiaries of that if you go to the park, so you'll understand. This is a big deal, obviously, the tornadoes, and I haven't talked that much about it during this show, but we certainly devoted a lot of time to it in our last one, and this is horrible. In Tennessee, the tornadoes have killed 24, so they were saying 25, it's 24 in one day. That happened on Tuesday, more than twice the deaths from the COVID-19 in the U.S., so the virus, but they're warning it could be an active March for tornadoes, and with the weather being so warm, March, April, May, that causes tornadoes. AccuWeather is actually forecasting over 150 tornadoes this March, whereas the 2 months following are usually the most active ones. They're saying Central Plains, so pay attention, lower Midwest by mid-March. And it's all about that whole jet stream and, you know, what happens there as and when it hits as to how many tornadoes they'll see and what'll happen. You know, we've had some horrific tornadoes in our history, some of the worst in the 20s, but we also had a year ago 23 people die from an Alabama tornado on March 3rd, and that was a horrible, horrible day there. And now the Tennessee, they're saying the same thing, and there was so much, there was so many people, rather, that were sleeping because of when the tornadoes hit. And there were kids that were injured and of course, killed in this. Very, very sad. A veteran airline mechanic sentenced Wednesday to 3 years in prison for sabotaging an American Airlines jet with 150 people on board in a bid to earn overtime fixing the plane. 60-year-old Abdullah Majid Maruf Ahmed Alani was the one who was hit with this sentence of 3 years by a district judge, Marsha Cook, rather, who said she found no evidence to support allegations that he had links to the Islamic State extremist group or any terrorist group, but said it doesn't change what has the other part of this, what has happened with what he did. The court documents show that it involved, check this out, gluing styrofoam inside the nose of a Boeing 737 at Miami International Airport so that it disabled the component pilots used to monitor things like airspeed, altitude, and the pitch of the plane. If the flight had taken off as was planned back in July for Nassau, the Bahamas, the sabotage could have caused a crash. So the pilot saw an error message while the plane was on the runway, returned to the terminal to have the problems examined. And that's deliberate tampering. So imagine the danger of that. And, of course, they went and they looked at the surveillance video, and he was identified by fellow workers, and that's how they found him. The goal was to keep the plane on the ground so he could work overtime to fix it. He was in dire need of money for his children's college expenses and other needs. Well, if they were solely financial is what they're saying. And instead, 3 years in prison. And can you imagine with what he did if he had taken a plane out of the sky? Disastrous. All right, stay with us. Coming up a little bit later in this hour, we're going to talk with the president of the LA Galaxy about soccer, of all things, and the popularity of soccer. Hang with us.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how did it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
U.S. USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
We're also going to be talking about hourly wage earners getting help.
President Trump speaking in the White House briefing room on the coronavirus as he looks for ways to help the American worker during this critical time.
So that they can be in a position where they're not going to ever miss a paycheck. We're going to be working with companies and small companies, large companies, a lot of companies, so that they don't get penalized for something that's not their fault. It's not their fault. It's not our country's fault. This was something that we were thrown into, and we're going to handle it, and we have been handling it very well.
And the market taking a huge hit, the Dow down just over 2,000 points, and the Grand Princess finally docking in Oakland, California. Folks sick taken off the ship and transported to area hospitals. Others will be taken off in waves over the next few days and flown to military bases. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995 immediately. That's 800-605-6995. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-605-6995 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-605-6995. That's 800-605-6995. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995 for your free author submission kit.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount. And then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product. And one of them is something called argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.
All right, I can picture our next guest here in Author's Corner in our virtual green room sitting in some really cool place in Vermont. What's interesting is where we're going to take you, and that would be Oklahoma. The Okie Chronicles poems by Pamela Harrison, that's the name of the book, and such a delight. I talked to her off the air, and I just couldn't get it out of my head, the really beautiful area where she is, and then also the portrait she painted for me about Oklahoma, growing up, family members, that kind of thing. So it's a pleasure to welcome her to Author's Corner. Pamela, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Kate. Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about family life in the 50s in being a, let's call it an Okie. What was that like?
It was a very proud place. I mean, we were sort of, as I say in a poem, on the border of South and West. So we had this very nice mingled culture of farming and oil wells, and we had a very fine football team, and that was very important. And I had the great honor and pleasure of going to a wonderful high school and had a wonderful teacher named Dear Mrs. Tuck. She's no longer with us. And she recognized something about me and poetry and encouraged me. And that's how my path began.
How tough, though, was life in Oklahoma? Because you think about, you know, two decades before that, it was the Dust Bowl. And we know about the Dust Bowl. I remember studying it in history class, and I grew up outside of Philly, so it was so foreign to me. I thought, oh, these people, this is horrible. This is so hard. And I couldn't relate to it. But with all the detail and the imagery and everything else, which you capture, by the way, in your book, in these poems, what was life like for the people then and then decades later?
Well, I experienced it really through the experience of my mother, who was really a true Okie. She and her family were farmers to the east of Oklahoma City, and but their farm blew away in the Dust Bowl, and the whole family entered the caravans that were driving west to California, and they made it to the Central Valley, and then they all exited, you know, the road at that point, and they all became field hands. They picked crops, they picked vegetables and fruit and everything, and they were there for several years trying to get their lives back in order. It was a family of seven children. My mother was one of three girls, and the rest were boys, and two of the boys actually stayed in Oakland, California, and didn't come back to Oklahoma, but the rest of the family did come back. And when I first saw my grandmother and grandfather, it was usually for Sunday supper. We would drive from Oklahoma City, where we lived. My father was a family practitioner in Oklahoma City, and we would drive out to Sparks, Oklahoma, where my grandparents lived. And boy, I had not been on a really simple farm before, so that became a very vivid memory for me. Fortunately, part of the reason that I write poetry instead of tell stories is that I think if you're a storyteller, you really have to master dialogue, because dialogue propels the plot in many ways. But if you're like me, you have a visual and have a visual memory, then you are busy sort of likening things to metaphors and things like that. And boy, did their farm hit me. They had a swayback horse. The soil was had basically blown away. I heard somewhere that at one time the dust clouds were hundreds of feet high during the Dust Bowl, hundreds of feet high into the air, and came rolling over the plains. And actually, at one point, the Congress of the United States in Washington, D.C. had its windows open to debate some things for, you know, procedures for the Dust Bowl, and the Dust Bowl blew in. And if you can imagine something of that power. And so I had some visual memories of the simplicity of their lives, and I also knew the kind of hardships that they had endured, and I knew the character of my mother, who was one of the most intelligent and caring but silent women. I think she only got a high school education and then waited tables for 2 years. She knew how to read. Her father taught her how to read on his lap, read the newspaper, and they took her to school when she was five, and they put her in the second grade because she was so far ahead. And so she graduated high school at the age of 16, and then she wanted to be a nurse like her mother, like her older sister May had been a naval nurse during the war. But she had to go wait tables to earn enough money to go to nursing school. Wow. And then when she became a nurse, she was such a good nurse. She was a surgical nurse in the OR, and that's how my father met her, because his family was disrupted by the Depression, because his father, who had been a banker, established the first bank in Cortez, Colorado. His bank was closed to keep people in Chicago. Chicago from jumping off of ledges, you know, and things like that. That's
wow.
The family story I heard anyway. And so we spent some time as children out there as well in Cortez and the Four Corners. So mm-hmm. I got to see the West. I got to see people working hard every day, and I was so struck by their integrity, and it bothered me that all the movies I saw, somehow the poor people were always poorly spoken and mean-spirited and kind of ruined by their failure and their hardships. But what I knew of these people was that they were extraordinarily kind and honest and hardworking. So that was where a lot of the impulse to write came from. Also, I had this whole bunch of good stories saved up. You know, the kids in the book have an uncanny resemblance to me and my brother and sister. And I just had my father was a storyteller. We sat around the dinner table all the time and told whatever was interesting about our daily lives. And so storytelling was sort of central to it all. And that's where I got the habit. And then it was just a matter of recalling all of these wonderful things to give color to what I was writing.
Well, that sums it up, that's for sure. What do you hope people take away from the Oki Chronicles?
Well, I hope that they too might understand that we're in a situation now where so many of our farmers are having to sell their farms because corporate interests have taken over, and it's very hard for them certainly this is the case in Vermont. You know, Vermont has a farming or had a farming culture, but we've been losing our family farms here so much because it's hard work and the price of milk has gone down and so on and so on. So I wanted to pay tribute to them and tell the story of these hardworking souls of the earth that are the basic character of America was settled by people who were working the land. So
yeah,
that's what I
absolutely.
Wanted to do. Yeah.
And you do that, Oki Chronicles. All right, we only have like a minute and something left, but give me one of the lines from the Chronicles.
Oh well, I think it's I would like to just read the prologue.
Do it.
If you don't mind, because it's such a land based. The story grows right out of the land, and it tells the story of the land. Borderland, it's called. Where the rumble of the Ozarks smooths to the prairie plain, on the border of south and west, mockingbirds call down the chimney at dawn. The sun's engine rumbles up the curve, glare and heat rush over the flats faster than jackrabbits routed by fire, caught the tops of the cottonwood trees, then the fragrant Osage orange, soon all the long grass. A dry blast of light blazes the way to dusk. The western rim unfurls red banners for the just-spent day, and the purple earth dissolves before the long roll of night. Between these poles stretches a windy space, on whose horizon, between soil and sky, men and women bend, scratching shallow names in the plain. No wonder they don't say much, and when they do, it's for the story they ply against the emptiness that laps on every side. That he is able, a man takes with him like a totem to the fields. At midday, sun falls straight on his shoulders, and he stands on the sill of his own shadow, sufficient as it might prove.
Wow. So
that's
well
the
done.
Beginning.
Yeah. So
that's
well
the
done.
Beginning.
Yes,
thank
I love
you.
It. You set it up. Pamela Harrison, the book is called Oki Chronicles. Pick it up and you will know exactly what it's like, life in Oklahoma. And as Pamela said, there's so much more to it.
I just want to say that I just got word today that my new book is going to come out in July 2021. It's called Whirligig. I just got it. I got goosebumps when I realized I read it. It's about 10 minutes before we started talking.
Nice. So we'll look for that too, but go to Amazon and pick this one up. Oki Chronicles, Pamela Harrison. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Kate.
that? In Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas? Riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet? Scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success? And why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full-body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
In Author's Corner, we have Neil Griffin. He's written such an interesting book. I love the title, From Science to Spirituality. And it's got to make you conjure up all kinds of images, I think, in your head. We had a great off-air conversation about the questions and the preconceived beliefs when you look at science and you look at religious thought. And so it's going to be a great discussion with Neil about his book. So, Neil, thanks so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
So my first question to you is, you're this guy who has this brilliant mind for science. You're a physicist. What drives you to explore such a tough and broad theme in combining science and spirituality and trying to answer the question that a lot of people have?
When I was a child, my parents took me to a Christian church, and I kept wondering why they believed what they did, and I just couldn't buy the whole thing, but I went along with it. By the time I got to college, I found physics a theme to explain everything that went on, but it was based on the scientific principle that you have to prove what you're talking about. You need a demonstration. You need something physical. the spiritual, the church teachings and everything wasn't belief on the scientific method. It was based on belief. That is, you have to believe what they tell you, believe what you come to your own conclusion. And I looked it up in the dictionary. Belief is just an opinion. So wait a minute, I'm a physicist. I'm trained in things have to be verified, have to be proven, have to be demonstrated over and over again. So I had trouble accepting many of the religious ideas. I took a look at physics and said, what can physics tell me? And physics had a basic law, the most basic one of all. It says everything in the universe obeys natural law. Scientists say there is no exception. Everything flows according to natural law. And being trained as a physicist, I said, yeah, that makes sense. I understand that. I don't say if I believe it, but there have been millions and millions of scientists trying to disprove it, and they can't. Every time they try to disprove it, they find either the law was correct or is not correct, and then they changed it. So I looked at that philosophy, and I said, how does that affect spirituality?
And so that's a perfect place to continue this movement that we're talking about. So what did you find out? Tell us, and of course we want people to get the book From Science to Spirituality because it's such a broad question. But what did you find out? Give us a little sneak peek of that.
Well, I started off with saying the brain is a physical object, and therefore because it's physical, the brain has to follow physical law. But I was also, same time I was going to college, attending a spiritualist church. Now that's as far from science as you can get because they talk to the dead. And I said, now wait a minute, they got something going here. But a medium can do something else a scientist can do. They can verify what they say. They can talk to someone who's dead, and the dead will reveal things that only they could know. That's a medium would have no idea knowing. So I said, well, there's something going on here. There's a natural law that extends into the spiritual side. And so I was saying, how does the brain, which is physical, interact with something which is spiritual? And that's where a lot of my unfolding, a lot of my belief began to develop.
Wow. And again, you can pick up Neil's book, by the way, on Amazon, From Science to Spirituality. And it's interesting because, again, you're a guy with 20 patents. You're steeped in cryotronics and all kinds of amazing things when we talk about your scientific career. I'm curious, what did people say when you tackled this in your world and you decided to write this book?
I didn't get too much because a lot of people are so steeped in their belief.
Yeah.
And one of the first things I found was the psychological truth. If you believe, nobody can talk you out of your point of view. As a matter of fact, your mind will go to great extents to defend your point of view, even to the point of ignoring facts. So the first thing I do as I'm talking with about that is, what do you believe? What do you think? And if they're sort of questioning, opening, I said, yeah, I can make sense here. But if they list off a liturgy of things they believe, I say, no sense talking here, because what I say, they will never hear. So a lot of talking I didn't do, except for people that I knew were open enough. And there aren't many people like that who haven't already formed some sort of spiritual belief.
Boy, isn't that the truth? That's called a fixed mindset, that there are so many people that would have that. So what do you hope people take away from reading your book?
The great insight I guess I want to share is that the ideas of science explain how the brain works, explains how spirit, which is non-physical, can affect a physical object, i.e. the brain. And from that, what does the spirit take into the spirit world, and how does it affect this world? The great insight I wanted to say is depend on science as a guide and follow it wherever it goes. And my book explains a lot of places that it goes, including the different phenomena of psychic phenomena and the different religions saying, no, I don't believe in religion. I believe in what science can produce. One of the last things I brought out of the book, which I think was probably my fundamental thought, what is God? I talk about God a lot in the book, but I never really explained it to the last chapter. And the last chapter I said, well, what is science? Science is everywhere. Science describes everything. And there is no exception to what science can do. Replace the word science with God, and the words are about the same. Isn't that what God does? God knows everything, past and future. Science knows everything, past and future. So my thought is, when you look at God, look at science. And science gives you an idea of what limitations you can have. Can you pray to God? Can you pray to science? Those are interesting questions. What people have discovered, for example, energy healers, which is they're quite obviously not physical, but what they use is a spiritual energy within each and every one of us to affect the vibration of somebody else. So that is something where the spirit not only is having a direct effect on the body, which each of us have, we are a spirit. And I like that old statement, we are a spirit having a physical experience. And to me, that puts the whole chatter right. Life is about the spirit experiencing the physical. And when you look at it that way, it changes the whole perspective. We are here to learn what we can, but what we learn, we will take with us. So that's my thought. What is God? God wow. can be described as physical, what science is.
Wow, perfect place to end this. I mean, you're just making me think in the lots of different directions, and I'm sure the listeners are as well. So the book is called From Science to Spirituality. Neil Griffin, thank you so much for joining us on Author's Corner. We appreciate it, and we appreciate all of you for listening to this hour of the show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.